Amen. Thank you. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to be in James chapter 1. If you have your Bible, James chapter 1. And let's pray. Father, we thank you as always, Lord. We thank you that we live in America. We lift up our military around the world protecting us. We lift up our missionaries around the world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, we do pause for a minute and we just remember all the folks in Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and our neighborhood and our city and our counties that are suffering right now. Some lives have been lost. So we don't, at least I don't know who they are, but you know them and you know what they need. We pray for each other and all of our family and friends. We thank you for the linemen and the women who climb those poles too. You know, we thank you for everyone that's involved in restoring electricity. We pray that you keep them all safe. You place angels about them and help them. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. Anybody have a story real quick you want to share about how God helped you through the hurricane? Yeah. Okay. Amen. Amen. We're all blessed, really, aren't we? You know. Some of our problems are just first world problems, you know. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Let's move on. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. It's a very familiar verse. Most of us know it, probably have it memorized, but this is what God's put on my heart this week. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Everybody said amen? Amen. This is the very first thing James writes in his letter after his salutations. Why do you think that's so? I think it's because it's super, very important what he had to say there. Many Christians think, and I think I kind of fell into this trap years ago when I first got saved, But many Christians think that once they give their life to Christ, everything is going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's a bowl of cherries. I've seen people, you know, to act like that and kind of been there a little bit at the very beginning. And then what happens is they face trials and tribulations, tough times, and then they begin to question. They say to themselves, why? Why me? And if they're not careful, they'll begin to start doubting. Even doubting their decision to follow God. And they can even question God. So we have to be very careful of that. Those folks begin to wonder how they could possibly endure a horrible situation, a horrible, terrible circumstance, and still count it and consider it joy. Those are valid questions, aren't they? For most of us, I believe it really is. Peter also tackles this subject of joy through trials. And let me read this. We're going to spend a little time on here, okay? It's 1 Peter 1, if you're taking notes. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Let me read this to you. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor to God. Jesus Christ is revealed. He says, he goes on to say, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, listen closely, the salvation of your souls. Now, there's two quick points I want to go right here, and I could preach a whole message on these two, but I'm going to try to kind of dance around a little bit, but I don't want to leave it hanging right here. Up the verse a little above that, it says that it may be proved genuine. Okay? This joy, this salvation experience may be proven genuine. I'll tell you something I've seen, for you guys who don't know, I've been a counselor for a long, long time, and people who supposedly get saved and they try to get religious and they start going to church and it just doesn't work out for them. What normally happens is they face a trial or tribulation and they say, ah, this religious junk don't work. This church stuff don't work. Peter talks about that right here. I have never seen this in my whole life until I was studying this week. So what happens is this person who tries religion or tries to start going to church and do right, as soon as a trial or tribulation comes up, they do what? So what's happening in this trial and tribulation is proving whether their faith is genuine. That's deep, y'all. I'm telling you, it's proving this. For me, it is. I mean, I could go on and on with this, but I'm not going to do it. Help me, Lord. Y'all see that in there? This is good stuff now. Now let's go to the last verse on this 1 Peter. It says, this joy for your receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay? And we're talking about joy through trials. This is the message this morning. If you look up in the Greek, you guys know I like to do this. This word souls, what does it mean? Mind, will, and emotions, right? This particular word right here in the Greek literally means the seat of emotions. In other words, here's a chair. Okay? And it's saying that the seat, our emotions, is sitting right here in this seat. Our emotions, our feelings, and everything from A to B, angry, happy, sad, agitated, frustrated, down, joyful, all these different emotions. This is what it's saying here. The salvation of your souls. And this is the seat of the emotions. Y'all hear me? It's not talking about our eternal salvation. It's not talking about our being born again. That's not what it's talking about here. Because we're not born again through our joy. Y'all hear me? Now, back to that word salvation. That salvation right there is not really talking about being born again. I'm saved and born again. That's not what it's really talking about there. The Greek word for that salvation right there, it's the Greek word called, it means preservation. It means preservation. So the preservation of your feelings. And that word, I looked up the word preservation. Here's what it means. The process of keeping something intact or free from decay. Now put this together. This is beautiful. What it's saying here, the Word of God is telling us here that if we'll be mindful about allowing the Holy Spirit to produce joy in our life, it'll keep us from going crazy. It'll keep us from losing our mind. It'll keep us from really going off in the left field and getting mad and angry and ticked off and sad and upset and, why poor me, you know, why me, all that stuff. It'll keep our emotions as stable as it can be. That's really what it's saying. The process of keeping something intact. Y'all see this? It's beautiful to me. And that's the importance of reminding ourselves we got to count it all joy. If not, we can go way off into the land of negative emotions and feelings, and that negative land of emotions and feelings ends up in bitterness and frustration and resentments, and it could just end up in a really bad place. So in both of these passages, we see the instruction, the encouragement of God of what we should do. Everybody say, should do. What we should do. This is what God's telling us. This is what we should do when we face trials and tribulations and things that have been going on like in the last week. This is what we should do. We should consider it pure joy. In this, greatly rejoice. Now, sometimes it's not easy. Right, guys? I mean, I can get up here and preach about it. You know, I mean, am I really doing it? Sometimes not. But I try. I really do. It's not easy. But we've been encouraged to do this. Why does the Bible encourage us to count it all joy when I got a tree coming through my bedroom? Not me, but praise God, I got friends. How we count it all joy? Here it is. This is why. This is what I believe the Word of God is teaching us and telling us. Listen closely. Because trials make us stronger and they help us mature. That's what the Bible says. It makes us stronger and it helps us mature, grow up, and even become emotionally stronger. So maybe the next trial that comes along, it doesn't knock us down as far. It doesn't, you know, affect us as bad. You guys are all old enough to know here, you know, we're always going to have trials and tribulations, aren't we? As long as we're human beings and we're on this earth, we're going to have struggles and trials and things. Now, the James passage clearly states that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And the Peter passage here states that our faith, which is priceless, that's what it says, will be proved genuine. And the result will be praise and honor to God. That's beautiful to me. So how can we find joy in the midst of all this junk? How can we find joy in the midst of everything, all these hardships, and all these painful situations and circumstances? How? I got 3 points. I'm running a little behind. I'm sorry. I thought this was going to be a short message. But am I all right? Y'all came today on a rough day, so you just sit there. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. So here we go. Point one, if you're taking notes. First, we need to understand that the joy the world gives is not the same joy that God gives. And we all know that. But maybe you come here this morning to brush off the cobwebs a little bit and for God to remind you, okay, that the joy the world gives is not the same as the joy that God gives. Worldly joy or happiness, it comes and goes, just like waves hitting the shore. Isn't that right? That's the way the worldly happiness, the worldly joy goes. Worldly joy is something that you really can't cling to in the time of, say, a death of a loved one or a major disaster happens, because that joy that the world offers, it comes and goes. It comes and goes. A lot of times through alcohol, right? People try to get that thing going through alcohol. This whole hurricane that we've experienced, some believers and most unbelievers is going to have a difficult time dealing with the hurricane aftermath. You watch. You will. Even some believers who are not walking in the Spirit, okay, and a lot of unbelievers, they're going to have a rough time. There's going to be a lot of negative aftermath. This is a golden opportunity for us believers, us Christians. It's a golden opportunity for us to show the love of God. So even during the toughest times, we have to keep it and remember we've got to consider it joy. And when we do this, here's what happens for us as believers. When we're able to do this and we allow the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do this, what happens is we have peace. We have peace of mind. And we have hope. So we can say that this damage, this happened, what happened, you know, this too shall pass, right? We know that God's going to work these things out. We have hope and peace. We have what's called the peace that surpasses all understanding. So the world, you know, they're sitting around like, you know, they hear the conversations, your coworkers or whatever, and as you're living life, you're walking in the whole, you know, walking in the Spirit, producing joy and all this. And the unbelievers, you know, the world is saying things like, you got a tree laying on your car. How can you see the positive in this? Or they'll talk amongst themselves. Did you know that Fred down here, you know, he doesn't have any power. It's been a week and they have no power. And I heard a tree fell over his work shed. But he's still finding something positive about it. He's not freaking out. And so the world they see this. And they start asking themselves questions in here. Or maybe that faith that Paul and Bridget have, maybe that's real. You know, Mr. Jesse ain't have power in a while. Is the store got power? No? Can't use that story then. Anyway, but good. Praise the Lord. But as people see us in our life, they say to themselves, you know, wow, this faith that they have, this must be something to it. God is with us when we go through these problems, these situations, these trying times. God is with you. God is with you. When we walk in the Spirit It's like having a bottomless well of water that flows up. It's a beautiful and joyous thing. There's always an abundant supply of joy. Even in the darkest days, God said He would never leave us and never forsake us. He is there. Second point, real quick. We need to understand that God's joy cannot be taken away. You can't lose God's joy. It cannot be taken away. When times are tough, you might think that your joy is gone, but it's not. The joy of the Lord is in you. When you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you and seals you. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is always with you. God said, never leave you, right? Never forsake you. So the Holy Spirit is always there. It's promised. Listen to Jesus' words right here. John 15:11. He says, I have told you this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts 16:34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole family. Third point. Some of us, I haven't seen anybody in here this morning this applies to, but people do listen to our messages online on our website. But some of us need to stop whining and complaining. And we need to grab a hold of God's joy. Just like salvation, joy is a free gift from Jesus. And we must reach out and accept this free gift. Grab onto it like a lifeline. Choose joy over bitterness. Choose joy over anger. Choose joy over sadness. Make a decision. And this is something that we all can do. We can make a decision to choose joy every day, especially during trials and tribulations. No matter what, choose joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says this, you become imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe sufferings, you welcome the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. This is the Bible. This is not me trying to give you a positive pep talk. This is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. And one of my favorites is Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Here it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is Jesus counting it joy, what he had to go through for us. All through scriptures, we see the persecution of the church, the trials and hardships that believers faced. Some of us have experienced trials and hardships in our life. 100% guarantee you, young folks, you live long enough, you're going to go through some rough times. And as the Bible says, if your faith is not genuine, if you just play in church, it'll knock you out of the water. Now, I'm not being negative. That's the truth. And you guys are older. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? The challenge then really is truly to learn how to consider each trial joy. God's joy really is there. It is here. You can endure. We can make it through this trying time. Whatever may be shaking you in your boots right now, hold on to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And like I mentioned earlier, hold on to that joy. The Holy Spirit wants to produce joy in your life. We have to allow Him. We have to say, no, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm not going to say, why me? I'm not going to go all any of that negative stuff. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to see the positive in this. I'm going to look for God. I'm going to look for God in this situation. And I'll close with this scripture. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:4 says, we write this to make your joy complete. Do you have joy this morning? Do you know joy this morning? Amen. Mr. Gary, we're going to do a song of invitation. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love for you to come down here, and me and Adam or David, we'll pray for you, and you can settle that this morning. If you want to get saved and born again and know for sure that you're going to heaven, I'd love to do that this morning with you. So as we sing, amen.